Reads the scripture for us this morning.
I'm reading out of the NASB Bible, and although the words may be different than what are up on the screen, the meaning that God puts on our heart is the same. Matthew 2. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report to me, so that I too may come and worship him." After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star, which had been seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Teresa, I apologize for springing that on you in the last minute. But that's me. Thank you so much. We've been studying together the Gospel according to Christmas. And what an incredible journey it's been as we have considered together the real meaning of Christmas in the midst of a world that's filled with so many false ideas about what Christmas is about and about what this particular season is all about. The first week, we looked at Mary's story and talked about living, what it means to live a Christmas life, and through the example of Mary. And then, a couple of weeks ago, we considered the shepherds together and walking on level ground, we called it, and how we're all on that same level ground, how much God loves each and every one of us the very same. And then last Sunday, we talked about Simeon. And we consider together the inescapable Jesus and how he is inescapable in all our decision-making and who we are and what we're about and how we're to live out our lives. It's inescapable that we must make a choice, a decision, either to follow him or deny him. And this morning, as we conclude this series on the Gospel according to Christmas, we want to turn our attention towards the Magi, or the wise men, if you will. Now, there's all kinds of misconceptions about this particular story as it's revealed to us in the Scripture. And I find it interesting that in the story of the Magi, we usually have the wise men arriving stage right and just moments after the shepherd boys exit stage left. When we see the Christmas production in full force, that's the way we see it. But the wise men may not have arrived there on Christmas night. Did you know that? They may not have been there that particular night. Most people think it is, but that's not the way history reveals it itself. In fact, some scholars speculate that it might have been as much as 2 years later that the wise men or the Magi came to Bethlehem and arrived there to see Jesus. And so they were, as we read in this scripture, in Matthew chapter 2, We see that Matthew tells us that they came to the house where Jesus and Joseph and Mary were, and they saw this young child. They didn't mention anything about a baby. They call him a young child, not a newborn babe. And of course, another tradition is that they arrived on the sixth day of January, 12 days after the birth of Christ, which is why the ancient church celebrates what they called Old Christmas, the traditional Greek Orthodox celebration of Christmas. Another misconception is that there were three wise men. Nowhere are we told there were three wise men. We don't see it in Scripture. We sing that song, "We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar." Well, that's actually inaccurate. It says nothing about three wise men. And the Bible actually uses the word magos, which is, we translate it as magi, and translated as wise men. Actually, they were, according to Josephus, they were really priests from another religious persuasion, astronomers who believe that God speaks through the stars. So, you know, our thinking about Christmas sometimes gets a little wrapped up in the traditional pageant that we see and we hear about. And there's a lot of inconsistencies. But while the political and religious leaders of the day were clueless about the birth of Christ, nonetheless, God chose to reveal the miracle of the birth of the Messiah to this group of spiritual seekers, who were these wise men. Yeah, I corrected the record maybe a little bit, but the real story is the real story. The real story is that these were men who were seeking God. The real story is that these were people who had hearts bent towards this baby, this Savior, who was born to save them from their sin. And what I'm trying to get at this morning is the fact that God has revealed Himself to us. He revealed Himself to us through the shepherds, to all those at the manger, to all those who had gathered during that time, so that He could have a relationship with us. And that's why I've entitled my message this morning, it's the fact that it is something better than religion. When we think about Christmas, we think about the joy that we all celebrate in getting together with our families, our friends, and the wonderful time that we celebrate this season. But it's more than religion, and I really don't like that word religion, and I've told you many times that it's probably a word we ought not to use, because it's a word that denotes something that's man-made. When we talk about having a relationship with God, though, that's another thing. These were wise men who didn't know exactly what they were getting into. They were following a star from the east. They were seeking something more than what they could find in their earthly living. They were seeking Jesus, and even they didn't even know it. They were seeking the Savior of the world. They didn't even know it. They were seeking something that the world could not give them, but only God could. And so they were seeking a relationship. And I believe that there are many, many people around us today seeking that relationship, because people are sick and tired of religion. Religion sends people to hell more than anything else in this world. Because it's not religion, it's Jesus. It's a relationship with the God of the universe. Three things I want to share with you very quickly this morning about these wise men, about these wonderful things about the gospel according to Christmas, and let's take a look very briefly here this morning. Number one, that the first lesson we can draw from these magi is the fact that God reveals Himself to those who seek Him. He reveals Himself to those who seek Him. And we read in verses 1 and 2 that in the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. And we don't know everything about these wise men. It's probably they were different colored people, maybe. They were different ethnic backgrounds, different traditions for sure. But they asked this question, where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? Where is he? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage. Now, astronomers tell us that for a period of time around the birth of Christ, there was, in fact, a star which shone brightly in the eastern sky. That was substantiated by all kinds of different historical records. That was that's something that has been accepted widely and passed down from biblical times to the day that we're in now. That star was there for everybody to see, and those wise men followed it. No, they didn't have GPS or tracking devices or anything like that, but they followed the star, and that star led them to where Jesus was born, to the place of his birth. The Jews could have seen it. The Pharisees and the Sadducees could have seen it. Herod could have seen it. Anyone who looked up in the sky at that particular time, in that particular era, could have seen this bright star shining from the east. Only the Magi followed that star in order to find Jesus. And find them they did. They found him. Because that's how God is. That when we seek him with our whole heart, we're able to find him. We're able to know him. We're able to have a religion, or not a religion, but a relationship. There I go, using that word again. And when we look to him, he is the author, he is the perfecter of our faith, he is everything we need. When we seek Jesus and seek him fully, we find him. Now, I have friends and I have relatives and I have all kinds of acquaintances of people who are seeking things in this world and they're not finding it. I know people who are seeking fulfillment through drugs. They're seeking fulfillment through sex. They're seeking fulfillment through fame, through money, through anything. And they're all looking in the wrong places. They need to look toward Jesus. The Magi did, and they found him. They found him fully revealed. And so it's not an insignificant detail that the wise men weren't Jewish. It's not an insignificant detail that they were priests of another religion. And I believe that God is telling the world that Jesus is not just the king of the Jews, but he is the savior of all humankind. And it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Greek. It doesn't matter if you're Gentile. It doesn't matter if you're bond or free. It doesn't matter if you're black or white or rich or poor, male or female, American, Canadian, Asian, European, none of this matters. What matters is that God would reveal himself to those who seek him. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13 says, he says, when you search for me, you will find me. You will find me if you seek me with all your heart. I believe we're living in these days right now where people are really seeking Jesus. They don't know it, and they may not come out and say it, but they're seeking something that they cannot find in their own living. They're seeking something that they can't find in what this world has to offer, because this world is not offering very much right now. It's only Jesus who's able to offer the keys to the kingdom. Here's the second thing. God's not only, we're not just seeking, but God speaks to those who will listen. He will speak to those who will listen. Verse 12 says, and after having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Now, I find that to be very interesting as you look at the passage. God spoke to these wise men through the stars. And then he spoke to them through a dream. But the most important thing was that they were paying attention. When God speaks to you, do you pay attention? When God speaks to you, when God reveals himself to you, does he get your attention? For some people, it may mean tragedy for people to find God. For some people, for God to get their attention, it may mean something that's disastrous. Some of you are here this morning and God got your attention. God spoke to you through situations, through events, through tragedy. He spoke to you. He revealed himself to you because of an issue you faced in life. And sometimes, if it wasn't for that particular tragedy, if it wasn't for that issue, if it wasn't for that calamity, either good or bad, that fell upon you, you may not have that relationship with God today. You may not know it. You may not know him today if it wasn't for that. If it wasn't for another person who came to you and spoke to you about Jesus, if it wasn't for some event or some terrible event even, God may not have been able to speak to you. You see, I believe God wants to get through to us today. There are people that we live next door to. There are people we work with whom God is trying to get their attention. Now, I remember when God got the attention of this world on 9/11. For weeks on end, when I was pastoring in Caribou, we had record attendance. We had people coming every Sunday, new people. On the day 9 event of 9/11, I called a prayer meeting for the church and put it on the radio. Everybody showed up. The place was full. We had 200 people plus in church that Tuesday night on September the 11th to pray for our country. That was amazing. I thought all of heaven itself broke loose. God may be trying to get the attention of America today through terrorism. God may be trying to get the attention of you today through a broken relationship. Or maybe going under financially even. Or maybe sickness. God may be trying to get your attention. God speaks to us, and he does what it takes to speak to us. How does he speak to us? First of all, God speaks to us through the Bible, the Word of God. That's how he wants to reveal himself to us. In Psalm 119, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." God speaks to us primarily and foremost through his word, the Bible, the Word of God. And I have no apology in saying that, because his word is true. God speaks through his word, and when we read the Bible, God reveals his will to us, his plan to us. And he gives us direction for our lives that we need, and he shows us the way we should live. He reveals himself to us, but he does so understandably. Secondly, God speaks to us through the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. You see, the world around us thinks that what I'm doing right here this morning is foolishness. And it may be foolishness. The way the world thinks of the preaching of the Word of God is foolishness, but it is manna from heaven. It's God revealing himself. The preaching and teaching of the Bible is a sacred trust that I have, and I take very seriously when I stand behind this sacred desk every Sunday. I know a church in Portland right now who's going through a very difficult time because there's a division in the church. There's a few people that want to have two services, and they have two services. And there's a few people that want, they don't want to have any preaching in the first service. They want it all music. The pastor put his foot down. And because the pastor put his foot down and he said, "There shall be preaching every time there's a worship service in this church," a few people scattered and went different directions. Well, okay. But you know, that's the kind of world we live in. The Word of God is central. If it doesn't, you know, if God doesn't speak to you through his Word, and Sunday morning, whenever we gather together, there's something wrong. I believe God wants to speak to you even today. There are times when I feel as a preacher that I go to the door and people shake my hand and I feel I preached a lousy sermon that Sunday. And they come to me and they say, you know, you hit the nail right on the head today. And there's times I say, I think I do pretty good. And everybody's, yeah. It just goes the other way too. You know? But here's the third thing. God speaks to us. Thirdly, God leads those who will follow. God led these wise men to Bethlehem, to where Jesus was, wherever it was. In verses 9 and 10, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. And it says, when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. And on entering, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they knelt down and they paid him homage. The star led the wise men to Jesus. It was there for anyone to see, but only these wise men had the spiritual acuity to follow it. It's very interesting. If you're willing to let God lead you through the day-to-day events in your life, whatever may come your way, He will do it. The road may not always be easy. In fact, it's pretty rough in a lot of places for many of us. The road may not be easy, but He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The road may not be easy, but He says, I will lead you if you're willing to follow me, if you put your hand in my hand, if you trust me with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Follow me, He says. Follow me if you're willing to follow. God wants us to follow Him. He's a shepherd. He's the good shepherd. And He wants to lead us, not drive us, not whip us into shape, but He wants us to follow Him. And there are times in our lives when we find ourselves in situations which offer no clear-cut answers. We have no answer. It's in these times that we can throw ourselves at the mercy of God, at His mercy seat. We can trust completely in Him, knowing that He will lead us each step of the way, no matter what. Even though we don't understand what we're going through, He wants to do that. And the truth is, He wants to lead us more than we want to follow. That's for a fact. There's an old gospel song that says, where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. I'll go with Him, all the way. This Christmas season, are you willing to follow Him? Are you willing to surrender to Him? Are you willing to say, Lord, I surrender my life to You completely, to allow You to be the Lord of Lords in my heart? Today's scripture is not new to many of you. It's a story we've heard many, many times. For many of us, since we were little children. Gave His Son for you. You want to know God?
You want to know what he's really like? Seek him, and you'll find him. Listen for his voice, and he'll speak to you. And be willing to follow. Allow him to lead you, and he will lead you every step of the way, every day of your life. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for reminding us again and again that we have something that's better than religion. It's a relationship. Thank you for the story of the Magi. Encourage us, Lord, today to follow Jesus no matter what. And we thank you in his name. Amen.